There's been renewed focus on the international nuclear black market since word got out earlier this month that nuclear materials had made their way from North Korea to Libya. It was just about a year ago that the father of Pakistan's nuclear bomb, A.Q. Khan, confessed to running a black market in nuclear materials that reached around the world. Since then, Khan has been kept under house arrest in Pakistan. Investigations are underway in at least half a dozen countries, but questions about the network have only multiplied, as NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
When Libya confessed to a secret nuclear weapons program in late 2003, it allowed the United States to seize all of its nuclear materials, equipment, and plans. Much of that is now in storage at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. Among the various materials are a couple of tons of uranium hexafluoride, a gas that is an intermediate stage in the production of enriched uranium, potentially the core material of a nuclear weapon. Recently, Oak Ridge scientists concluded the uranium hexafluoride originated in North Korea, but some experts think it could have come from Pakistan. Robert Einhorn, a former Assistant Secretary of State on nuclear proliferation issues, is certain the A.Q. Khan network had a role.
They were the suppliers, the intermediaries, for most, if not all, of the nuclear equipment and material that was supplied to Libya.
The Libya confession broke open the A.Q. Khan network. Centered in Pakistan, it had tentacles in Europe, South Africa, and Malaysia. President Bush and former CIA Director George Tenet have made the claim that American intelligence broke open the network, but some experts aren't so sure.
There's more to this we don't know than we know.
Gary Milholland is director of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control. His group keeps extensive databases on nuclear proliferation.
How come we didn't find out about this network until it had succeeded in its goals? That is, it didn't really emerge until it had supplied all the folks that we're so worried about. If we're going to stop this sort of thing, we have to detect it in time to move to block it before it succeeds, and we certainly failed to do that.
Besides Libya, the Khan network is known to have supplied Iran with uranium enrichment equipment and may have supplied North Korea with the same. But many questions about the network's activities persist. Robert Einhorn would like to know what else the Khan network provided Iran.
It would be very good to know whether Dr. Khan's network provided a nuclear weapons design to Iran, as it provided to Libya. If we had proof that Khan provided a nuclear weapons design to Iran, this would clearly undermine the Iranian government's argument that it's pursuing enrichment only for peaceful purposes.
Certainly the U.S. government is interested in the answer to that question, as is the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is pursuing a global investigation into the Khan network's activities. But, says Einhorn, it's not clear that Pakistan or Khan has provided an answer.
Pakistani authorities are not allowing the IAEA, the U.S., or anybody to have direct access to Dr. A.Q. Khan, but they're receiving questions from the U.S., from the IAEA, and they are putting these questions, apparently, to Dr. Khan and then providing responses.
Khan operated the network for almost 20 years. He decentralized its activities, even though he himself appears to have been the primary salesman, traveling widely, especially in the Muslim world. He got very rich in the process. But after a year of investigations, it is not clear yet who else might have become buyers. That's a key question for Michael Crapon, president emeritus of the Stimson Center, a think tank in Washington.
If we think of the countries that have security dilemmas, that have strong neighbors, neighbors that also have nuclear ambitions. And if we think of the places that A.Q. Khan visited, two countries jump out, Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
Pakistan recently denied that Khan sold nuclear secrets to Egypt or Saudi Arabia, but doubts persist about those denials. Experts like Crapon are also skeptical that the Bush administration is aggressively pursuing the issue with Pakistan.
I do not detect significant U.S. pressure to learn more. I'm sure we ask. But I don't think we are pushing very hard on this.
Why the reluctance? Because the answers could produce embarrassing surprises. They might implicate the government of Pakistan itself and possibly its president, Pervez Musharraf, a key ally in the war against terrorism. Mike Schuster, NPR News.